Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you're listening to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Home Based Business 101 is a part of the Movements Unlimited Business Outreach Radio Program Network to inspire all generations about entrepreneurship and entrepreneur development. Hey, we have a hot new program called the Movements Unlimited Youth and Young Adult Business Mentoring Program. To find out more about that program, go to www.movementsunlimited.com. And when you go there, hey, you'll get information. Hey, that's Curtis Mayfield in the background. Yes, it sure is. We are a winner. Yes, Movements Unlimited is about developing winners. And when you go to that website, you can find out how you can become a winner. We want to be able to help our young people out there, 18 to 24 years old, to learn how to access opportunities that was not presented to generations previously before their time. And with that said, go to the website, www.movementsunlimited.com. Thank you.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. This is Papa Jahi here on Home Based Business 101, and we thank you for tuning in, whether you're listening live or catching us in the archive. Yes, go to the Movements Unlimited website, and you can find out about all of our youth development programs that we have, especially our entrepreneurship development program. And also, when you go to the website, be so kind as to make a donation. And all you got to do is click that donation tab and send off a donation to Movements Unlimited. And we thank you in advance for your support. Hey, well, today, you know, today's show and topic is Rich Dad's Conspiracy of the Rich, the 8 New Rules of Money. Wow, that's all I can say is wow. I mean, so much to cover in terms of this book, and I'm going to dive into it and cover, you know, certain aspects of it this morning, but you need to pick up the book. Oh, I forgot to mention the author. Well, you know, if it's got Rich Dad title in front of you, you know it's one of the books from the Rich Dad series, so you might already know who the author is. Yes, Robert Kiyosaki, and this is a powerful book. The book is written in two parts, basically gives the history of, you know, how we got in the situation that we're in today in terms of the economy, which is part one of the book. And then part two of the book, he talks about some solutions, some things that we can do so that we don't get trapped in the conspiracy of the rich. Yes, you know, this whole thing, you know, this part one of the book is called The Conspiracy. Part two is Fighting Back. What can we do to change the situation that's going on? Well, one of the big points that he points out and he brings, you know, to people's attention, if you are not already familiar with this and bring it to your attention, is the fact that in 1971, President Richard Nixon, without the approval of Congress, took America off of the gold standard. And that is huge. I mean, you really need to understand the significance of that, what that means. America was taken off the gold standard. This basically means that now our money's not backed by gold anymore. It's backed by taxpayers and our quote-unquote credit rating, which right now ain't all that good, and that's why they're trying to hammer this thing out of Washington before Asian banks, which basically own America right now, you know, decide that, hey, that, you know, that they don't want a deal. When I say don't want a deal, China's pushing hard to get the U.S. dollar not to become world currency anymore. And when that happens, America's toast. I hope you understand what I just said. They're pushing to get the U.S. dollar not to be world currency no more because they are status worth. That phrase is coming back from Japan. From over in Japan, $100 was only worth $20. Worthless. Now, why is it worthless again? You know, when I say worthless, I don't mean that, you know, the money that we have in our pocket, you know, you can't get anything with it. But the bottom line is it has less value because it's not based on any real commodities such as gold, silver, oil, or anything. It's only backed by U.S. taxpayers' ability to put money into the government for the government to back all of the money that it prints. I mean, they basically, when they took us off the gold standard, it just allowed the government to just print its way out of debt. So what we have is, as Robert Kiyosaki says, we have monopoly money. See, when you run out of money, the bank just prints some more. And if you ever read the rules of Monopoly, the game of Monopoly, you know, it tells you when the bank runs out of money, you take out some paper and you just create some more. See, and that's what America's doing right now, just printing and printing and printing and printing and printing and printing. And so, you know, it's important that you understand that, you know, 1971 was the year that basically America came off the gold standard. And now our money is no longer backed by gold. He points out some very historical things in the first part of the book that, you know, just blew me away. You know, that back in the, I don't have it right here in front of me, back during, I think it was the 30s, when they started having people turn in their gold. You know, they actually had, because I remember my grandfather, and I wasn't alive then, but I remember he was talking about his gold coins. You know, and how he was so proud to have gold. You know, don't get money, get gold, grandson. Make sure as you're growing up, you learn how to get some gold. You know, well, at the time, I didn't know why and for what. You know, my grandfather never got a chance to explain all of that to me. And I don't know for why and for what. What need gold for? What silver for? What? I know why now. Robert Kiyosaki talks about, obviously this book is about four things that keep people poor: taxes, debt, inflation, and retirement. And, you know, you need to dwell into that. Well, one of them, you know, that I can specifically talk about is taxes, is that if you're an employee, you got a tax problem because you need some tax shelters. One of the greatest ones, and that's what titled this show, Home-Based Business 101, is to have a home-based business which will allow you to shelter money and not have, you know, the same tax issues that you currently have concerning your, you know, working. You work, you know, Uncle Sam, you know, and I know was an uncle I never really, you know, was all that grateful about. But I mean, but I am grateful to be here in this country with some of the liberties that it offers. There's also some things that I really don't like. But in order to change them, we the people, because that's what it's supposed to be about, we the people need to come together and make the changes, because the politicians, you know, I saw how you heard me call them, the politicians, those that are in office, they just keep playing tricks. And they got a lot of them up their sleeve right now. Don't know what's going to come out of this thing about them solving the debt, but, you know, I know I've already gotten calls from friends and family members about, do you think I'm going to have a Social Security check next month? And, you know, that's going to hit people hard if they don't. But let me get back to the book. I mean, he talks about, you know, there's four things that keep people poor: taxes, debt, inflation, and retirement. You know, well, you know, taxes, and, you know, one of the things he also talks about is a lot of people don't get it when he said your house is not an asset, it's a liability. Most people, no, my house is an asset. You know, and people got mad with him on Wall Street when he first made that statement. And I say here, I'm talking about, again, Robert Kiyosaki. And he points out that, you know, your house becomes an asset when it pays you. See, when you have property that pays you, you're paying the state. It's a liability. And so you need to, you know, if you're going to have real estate, you need to have property that pays you. He talks about his rental units and how, for him and his wife Kim, they only invest in properties where, one, that there's plenty of jobs, people are working. There's no sense of having rental properties, and there's no jobs around. And that's what I see happening in two cities here that I'm very close to: Wilson, North Carolina, and Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. There's a lot of vacant houses and stuff that's falling down or falling apart, because when the textile industry moved out of here and certain other industries moved out of this area, so went the jobs. And so you don't have that many jobs here, and you basically just have low-income people who are living off of social service, and unfortunately for those that are involved in the crime element, living off of selling drugs. And so that element, you know, is not ideally in terms of you want to do rental properties that who you really want to rent from. So he talks about how, you know, his rental properties, he basically has most of them in Oklahoma and Texas, and basically around oil towns where people are working at oil refineries, because he knows that there's going to be some steady work for those people, and they're basically working, upper working class people who can afford to pay rent every month. It just makes smart business sense, you know, because you're going to have rental properties that you want to have rental properties in the city where people are moving to and flocking to because there's employment there. And now in America right now, as he said, one of the things that, you know, he would not have no rental properties in Detroit. And we know why. You know, people are trying to run away from there, you know, because of the economy. Even though there are some people that I know in network marketing that are doing very well in Detroit. So, you know, that's very interesting phenomena. That's a whole show within itself. Maybe I can get them on one day. I mean, he talks about this debt and then this inflation, this, you know, and the whole thing of people's retirement, you know, because people's retirement, when they were, these companies was allowed to get away from defined benefit to employee contribution program. See, when people had defined benefit program, and you knew you was going to have a check for life once you retire from a certain place, and it's going to be a steady amount. But when it came out with this 401k phenomenon and began to invest your retirement money, which means they basically lose it, and a lot of people have lost a lot of money because their retirement money is invested in the stock market and other stuff. So, hey, you know, part one of the book deals with the whole conspiracy, and, you know, you need to read it. One other point I'm going to talk about in part one that I want to get into solutions, you know, because, I mean, we can talk about the problem all day long when we talk about solutions. He says the cash heist. He said in 1983 he read a book by R. Buckminster Fuller entitled Grunch of the Giants. The word grunch is an acronym standing for Gross Universal Cash Heist. It is a book about the super rich and the ultra powerful and how they've been stealing from and exploiting people for centuries. It's a book about a conspiracy of the rich. See, I mean, we need to know this kind of information. The information is out there, and it's been put out there. And, you know, the thing is people want to think, well, you know, you act like the people don't really care about everyday people. Well, the ultra rich and ultra powerful, those that are, you know, running the world, no, they don't. You got to stop thinking that they do. They don't. You better come up with a strategy for you. Or as the young people say on the street, you better learn how to do you. See? And, you know, my thing is learn how to do you in context of some yous coming together and us collectively do us so that we can take power away from these people. And, again, network marketing offers a tremendous opportunity. He also mentions that in the book, but I'm not going to get into that part right now because that's part two of the book that I want to cover. But, you know, he talked about how these mortgage companies, you know, went bankrupt and stuff like that. And then because of the way, you know, the funny money, as he called it, how it got printed out and all of that. And just understanding these phenomena that are occurring. And so you want to get the book. You want to read. Say part one of the book is about the problems. Part two is about solutions. And he gives us 8 new rules of money. And I'm going to dive into that for 1 second here. I found it very interesting in part one of the book, his first chapter, Can Obama Save the World? Hey, a lot of us, you know, would like to think he can. And a lot of us probably, you know, when he ran with that slogan, change you can believe in, you know, we felt there was some change that was coming. But, I mean, he, you know, hey, that's questionable because his cabinet, had the same people that Clinton had, you know, all in here. So, I mean, how else are we going to get changed? Anyway, that's the first chapter. The second is conspiracy against our education. This is very, very important indeed. Now, the reason this is important is because our educational system has not been preparing us to understand money. And we need to understand money. Conspiracy, next chapter is conspiracy against our money. The bank never goes broke. As I told you before, just like Monopoly, it's print some more when you run out. See, and so our dollar becomes deflated, which means, you know, you're blowing it up and then you're deflating it, which means it's hardly worth anything, hardly worth anything. Then chapter 4, conspiracy against our wealth. Chapter 5, conspiracy against our financial intelligence. Now we're talking about fighting back. And what I'm going to do, he has a couple interesting chapters in here. Again, you need to get the book. He talks about in chapter 8 how to print your own money. I found this very fascinating when he talked about, you know, printing your own money. You know, now he's not talking about making counterfeit money. He says even though the rich are making counterfeit money because, you know, the money's not been able to do for us what we want it to be able to do. But, you know, he says, you know, how to be able to print your own money. And, you know, one of the ways of printing your own money is, again, learn the language of money. It's two rules. Money is knowledge, and also learn the language of money. Once you can learn the language of money, then you learn how to make sure that there's four things that you want to get involved with. The first one, he said, the four basic investment categories. You want to be a sophisticated investor. The four basic investor categories is category number one, businesses. He said you need to create businesses that will give you passive income. Sound like you're talking about network marketing to me. He's also talking about, you know, real rental properties in terms of real estate. It's something that can create passive residual monthly income. Rule number one. You hear what he's saying now? I mean, this is Robert Kiyosaki talking. He's talking about stay away from the mutual funds. That's not really diversification. That's just diversification in paper assets. We're going to get to paper assets in a minute. Okay, but rule number one is learning to have a business. While an average person may have many jobs providing earned income, you know, you need to have something that's providing passive income. And I thank God every day for my Zam Zoo business because I do get a residual check each month. It's not as great as I'd like for it to be right now, but hey, over time it will be because I know each year I may want to be able to move them decimal points, you know, my residual check. Right now it's just in the hundreds per month. You know, my goal is if I'm moving a decimal point over one slot between now and next year, it'll be in the thousands. And then if I can move it another slot, then it'll be, you know, five figures. Once I can get to that five-figure residual per month, you know, that's passive income that I get, whether I get out of bed or not, each month. And so, you know, you want to have a business that enables you to do that. Number two, you say income-producing investment real estate. These are properties that provide passive income every month in the form of rent. Your home or your vacation home doesn't count, even if your financial planner tells you they're assets. Again, he says, you know, the second aspect of being able to print your own money is having income-producing investment real estate. He said, again, if you're able to get you some property, you want, again, you want to get property in an area where people are working so that you always have a great pool of people to choose from to rent your property, people that are somewhere where they got steady work. Now, I mean, you know, yeah, that's a task in itself, too, right now here in America, fighting places like that. But there still are some places where people are having steady work, steady employment. And that's the best areas to invest in real estate development as far as real estate investment property. Number three, paper assets. Most average investors have paper assets because they're easy to buy, require little management and liquid, meaning they're easy to get out of. Now, see, then the key he said here about paper assets is that, see, some people figure that's all they need to do is just put their money in mutual funds. Well, he doesn't believe in mutual funds. Neither does Warren Buffett. Now, some people say, wait a minute. What? You know, what's wrong with mutual funds? Well, you know, you got the fees. You got the commissions. And then, you know, one stock goes up, one goes down, so you're back basically to zero. Okay? says, know what you want to invest in. Be specific about what you want to invest in. He has some strategies in here about, you know, investments. I'm not going to get into all of that right now because, again, time is ticking, and we have about 10 minutes left here in terms of the show this morning. Number four, commodities, gold, silver, oil, platinum. Most average investors do not know how or where to buy commodities. In many cases, they don't even know how or where to buy physical gold or silver. And, you know, he says, a sophisticated investor invests in all four categories. That is true diversification. The average investor believes they are diversified, but most are only in category three, paper assets. That is not diversification. So he says the sophisticated investor invests in all four. You know, and so that's, for me, the next step is learning how to be able to invest in gold, silver, and oil. You know, I got some investments right now in coffee, which is also a great commodity. You know, but we got to learn how to get, you know, stuff tied up in that that's going to also produce revenue for us. You know, his whole essence of Robert Kiyosaki's philosophy is cash flow. You want to have more cash flowing in than you have flowing out. I mean, it just makes perfect sense. So, you know, it's important that we understand those four areas and how to take advantage of them. And again, that's in Chapter 8 about how to print your own money. And, you know, he goes into this thing about derivatives and some other things. And, you know, he gives examples of, you know, how to invest so that you actually are able to be in control of your money the same way, almost like printing your own money. So while you really want to get, you know, into the second part and dwell into that. And what I'm going to cover in the last part of the show this morning is some key points that he brings out, which I will be incorporating into some of my youth development programs. He says, if I ran the school system, oh, my God, wow. You know, I mean, the whole key is the financial education piece. That is so important. I mean, he says, again, if I ran the world. And, you know, for those of you that's out there listening again today, this is a listen-only show. I'm not in front of a computer. I'm not able to run the switchboard. But you can, once the show is over, you can leave a comment. Please leave a comment in the comment section so I know, you know, people's opinions about this information. And you know, and then hey, hopefully get the book and then come back, you know, and click the show again and then, you know, listen again and then, you know, listen. And enter some comments as you go through the book because it's so important, you know. I mean, he talks about if I ran a school system. So the first thing he would do is he would teach the history of money and making sure that people understand how money came into being. Because we, you know, again, it's almost like I do gardening. And it's like, you know, I do this whole thing with my youth. Where does food come from? Where, you know, and, you know, well, here we have a store called Piggly Wiggly. And I say, you know, where does it come from before it gets to Piggly Wiggly? You know, and children be like, I don't know. I said, well, what you think? They just make it. You know, so, you know, again, but we don't understand the history of money and all of that, and that's important. And then, he says there's a few important dates in the history of money. 1903, he says, I believe the U.S. education system was taken over by the General Education Board founded by John D. Rockefeller, decided what kids should learn. This put the influence of education in the hands of the ultra-rich, and the subject of money was not taught in school. Today, people go to school to learn to work for money, but they learn nothing about how to have money work for them. And he, you know, gives information about his cash flow quadrant. But that's so true. People in school are not taught how to have money work for them. So that's a very important thing that he would do. 1913, he says, another important year. The Federal Reserve was formed. The Federal Reserve is not American, not federal, has no reserves, and it's not a bank. It is controlled by some of the richest and politically influential families in the world. It has the power to create money out of thin air. Institutions like the Federal Reserve have been staunchly opposed by designers of the Constitution and by presidents such as George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. I mean, this is really deep. We talk about the Federal Reserve. He said, one, it's not federal. Two, it has no reserves, and it's not a bank. And it's controlled by people that are not American. I mean, this sounds like an act of terrorism. But, you know, you need to do your history on the Federal Reserve. I mean, it just really, this really helped me understand a lot about what's going on when they created this whole thing, the Federal Reserve, and, you know, and what it's designed to do. You really need to, say, get into this. I don't have time to point out all of the deep points about some of the stuff that he talks about. That's why you got to get the book. He talks about the Great Depression and how when the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was created, which we thought was created to help us, but it really was created to help the banks. The Bretton Woods Agreement was made. The International Currency Agreement created the World Bank and International, this was 1944, and International Monetary Fund. The agreement replicated the Federal Reserve System globally and in effect installed the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. He said, next important date, 1971, President Nixon took us off the gold standard. The economy expanded by creating more debt. 1974, the U.S. Congress passed the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, in which they got rid of defined benefit pension plan and came up with defined contribution pension plans, and that's why people are losing. Next thing he said he would teach is understanding your financial statement. He says, your banker never asks to see your report card. A banker does not care about what your grades were in school. A banker wants to see your financial statement. And he explains that in detail. He goes through the difference between assets and liabilities, the difference between capital gains and cash flow, and that you really want to be focusing on cash flow, not capital gains. That's a very good point that he breaks down. The difference between fundamental and technical investing. And, you know, that's he said the key is technical investing. Fundamental investing is turning your money over to these mutual funds and these other people for them to manage your money for you. Then he says about how to measure asset strength, how to choose good people, because he said this thing is, you know, you need partners to help you with financing and management. Know what asset is best for you. He said there are four basic types of assets. Business, real estate, paper assets, commodities, I went through them. You know, he said, you know, you need to know which one is best for you. Ideally, you want to invest in all four, but initially you need to start off with one. Know when to focus and when to diversify. And that's again, he talked about how you eventually incorporate all four of those aspects to your thing. Knowing what the minimum risk is and things. And how to minimize your taxes. You know, this is very, very important, how to minimize your taxes. People that have earned income pay the most taxes. People who have portfolio income are mildly taxed. But people with passive residual income are the least taxed. And so you want to know about that. And he talks about debt and knowing what good debt is versus bad debt, how to use debt to help you earn money. And know how to use derivatives. I didn't get a chance to really go into that, but you can get to that through the book. Know how your wealth is stolen from you. It's very important. Know how to make mistakes. He says, you know, you're gonna make some mistakes, and that's part of learning. And so he said, but the biggest mistake that people are making in financial education today is that schools bring in bankers and financial planners to teach young people about money. How can we expect a financial crisis to end when the employees of the very organizations that cause these crises teach our children? That is not financial education. That is financial exploitation. This is where the cash heist begins. So, you know, he goes through those points, and it's a very, very good book. You know, it's 8 new rules of money, you know, and I didn't get a chance to go to all 8 of those. But, you know, rule number one, money is knowledge. And he said, we live in the information age, and you need to know STEAM. What you mean by speed in the information age is that how to get money working for you 24/7. Best way to do that is through having an internet business, an internet home-based business. He says now he spends more time on his computer working from home than before when he used to travel. But learning how to be able to do that. So, hey, this has been Baba Jahi here this morning sharing with you The Conspiracy of the Rich, 8 New Rules of Money by Robert Kiyosaki. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. And until next time, hey, may God be with you. And if you enjoyed what you heard this morning, leave a comment. Also, you know, hey, feel free to give me a call anytime at 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. And let's talk. Till next time, peace and blessings.